Todd. Todd, you there?
Howdy. Yes, I am. Hi, Ken. Peter. Michael.
Hello. I might have to duck out closer to the 1 hour mark. Oliver is visiting Toronto, so when he gets in, I'll have to sign out.
Fantastic. Were you both in Boston?
Yes. Yeah. And in honor of Oliver, we're having the Toronto Ontology Festival this week.
How big is the festival?
Oh, it's just Oliver presenting three different seminars in three different days, but it's just a small beginning.
You should type that into the chat so that we document this somewhere. Okay. I guess then maybe we should try to keep it within an hour. Maybe Ken, you can walk us through the meeting, and I can take notes.
Okay, let's get started. So maybe, is it appropriate that I mention a little something that happened at the Semantic Web Conference?
Oh, please, yes.
Definitely interest in the Semantic Web Conference for OData, and OData, at least through my contacts, is interested in OOR.
Oh, really?
Huh? Yeah. In fact, one of the participants in the OData committee is SAP. This is SAP Germany. Huh. And Michael Pizzo indicated that they do seem to have some interest in this, but he needed some more information. He's going to be talking with them. So they may actually be interested in doing some development work on the OOR.
Oh, fantastic.
Because they do have this commitment to, you know, to develop the OData, and OData is committed to integration with Semantic Web and Ontologies, and OOR seems an ideal way of, you know, accomplishing that. So they would actually do development work, and that means we would have to provide them with the specifications, the requirements and specifications for what they would produce.
Could you capture this part of that into the essence of that onto the chat?
Right.
Well, I guess judging from everyone who's on the call, we could have had this meeting last week at ISRIC during a coffee break.
Except for Peter.
And Todd. Yeah, okay.
Yes. Frank.
What was last week?
The Semantic Web Conference in Boston.
Oh, did you go, Peter?
No. Michael and Oliver could... were there.
Oh.
And Frank and Ken and Mike.
Frank was there?
Yeah.
Oh, Frank.
Boy, we missed the party.
Yes. Hi, Mike.
Hi, everyone.
Hi. Yes, I don't know whether you guys heard someone just... Was it you, Frank, who edited?
Yeah, I just edited my name into the attendees list.
Okay, I'll put you in. Usually, after the meeting starts, it's best to just let one person edit. Okay, if you people refresh, got that. So this is great news. I mean, there are huge opportunities, various things. So.
Ken, SAP would be participating via their labs where? In Germany, the U.S., or Korea?
Ken.
For some reason I lost the connection. I guess it's problematic here on the beach.
Okay. Frank was asking where the SAP folks who might engage would come from, Germany, U.S., or Korea?
Germany. It's SAP Germany.
Since Frank...
I do know some of the... I've met some of the people already, but I'll have to, talk to other people about
I think their main development efforts are still based in Germany. Well, they do have a lab out here in Palo Alto, and it's my understanding that HANA, their main memory database system, was developed in all three labs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Before you guys came in, we said we are going to limit this meeting to an hour. So maybe quick report. Ken was starting the meeting with a report on Eastwick. So since most of you are there, maybe we go around in a quick report, especially specifically if it relates to tactical or even strategic opportunities for OR. Everyone who is there report. So I'll go down the list of Frank first then.
So I wanted to say two things. One is that the papers have been posted on the program page of ISWIC, and for the workshops, many of them were put up at CEUR, .org, the European proceeding site. So if you're hunting for these things, that's the two places to find them. They did not distribute the proceedings on memory sticks, which I found somewhat inconvenient, but anyway. The other thing was there was a talk, and I'm trying to remember who it was, on the first day that was talking about inference on T-boxes, and the author made the point that you actually had to consider the A-boxes sometimes to resolve questions about the T-boxes. And I'll try and get the citation for that and post it to the chat room.
Great.
And that was the most, to me, that was the most surprising result at the conference. I was blissfully unaware that we had to consider A-boxes sometimes when doing inference about T-boxes. I thought that you could consider these things independently, but he pointed out that this was not true. Michael might have been there for that talk.
Let's see. So that might have been... it sounds familiar.
I think it was the first day.
Yeah, that might have been Marcus Croce's talk. The not-so-easy task of computing class assumptions.
Yes, it was.
OWL, so dealing with rules and OWL combined together, yes.
Okay, yes. So while Frank tries to document his two points, Michael?
So I went to several workshops, or at least parts of workshops, that I think we can, if we can engage these two communities with OR, it might play a nice role. The first was the ontology matching workshop. I popped in for a session of that. And they are already kind of putting together kind of a workflow, because the ontology matching workshop is really organized around the idea of algorithms for testing matchings between ontologies. And I think if we, as the OOR, kind of volunteer to kind of be the repository for the test ontologies that they do, some of them are kind of natural ontologies, whereas others are artificial. But either way, if we kind of can include ourselves in there, it might give us more visibility in terms of why do people want to use ontology repositories. The other workshop was the ontology patterns workshop, and I went to the entire workshop of that. It was a half day, and once again, people are want to have repositories for putting their ontology patterns, and I mean they have this loose one, ontology pattern, ontologydesignpattern.org, but it's not really a repository; it's just kind of a listing. And so again, if we, can kind of approach, that community, Aldo Gangemi, leading that, then, again, we can start building a critical mass, I think, of content. Particularly since a lot of the posters, they had kind of posters and presentations. A lot of the posters, were interacting with some Neon work that descended from Neon. And so another kind of point that we might want to address.
Michael?
Yes.
During that workshop on patterns, did they say anything about the actual development of patterns, or is it just about the logistics and mechanics of having patterns?
Most of the presentations were dealing with identifying patterns in ontology. So there were two presentations related to identifying patterns in bioportal ontologies. I had a paper that was dealing with calore and patterns. Many of the posters were a little more focused on kind of actually using patterns in design.
Just for Todd's reference, Aldo has presented, I think, on more than one occasion, at least two I can remember, about ontology patterns on Ontolog. So if you go to the wiki homepage and search for Aldo, he has presented one with Valentina Prisute, who is his colleague in working on this, and then another time for the SOCOP people. But also, I believe they engaged Michael Ushant for a while. And Michael, actually, when he was trying to build out their website with reference good ontologies or best practice references or something, he had for a little while, or at least I tried to engage him, saying that we're sort of working on similar things, and he attended all our meetings for two or three times and then dropped off, I guess.
Well, I've been to their website and I've seen some of their patterns. So I was just interested in what the way the workshop went in terms of their focus.
So I'd say the most substantial, the most interesting and impactful papers were the ones that were kind of comparing using BioPortal as a kind of a library of test cases to see how patterns make a difference and how you could detect patterns and what kinds of patterns were there.
That's good, because some of the things they're calling patterns don't strike me as such. Of course, I have a problem with the notion of pattern in the first place. It's a very confusing concept.
No, I agree, and that's kind of one reason why I sent a paper there, because I personally wanted to kind of engage the community. When we talk about patterns in Calore, we're talking about some of these core ontologies that get reused in many, some very generic ontologies that get reused in very widely diverse domains.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, the word pattern, there are many different kinds of patterns. Some are syntactic, some are more semantic, some are just strange to figure out why they're calling it a pattern. So it is quite a range of things. But if we can kind of start saying, we'll kind of serve as your capturing some of the things that you have there in a more dynamic way, then maybe we can just leverage each other.
Yeah, help focus the area.
Yeah,
now that's you. Yeah, the question would be, is a pattern different from just an ontology?
Right. So in some cases, it isn't. But when people are talking about more syntactic, patterns, then it's not really an ontology. It's more like a template. You like to have axioms of this style, sort of thing, and then that's kind of how you can build up ontologies.
Right. So if that is the case, And it is actually a different animal, and having a repository for them would actually be quite interesting.
Right, and so it's kind of, you know, different people kind of have different sorts of patterns. So patterns is not an unambiguous word.
Right. I definitely got the impression that they were pretty vague about what a pattern was. And they actually had two parts to the session. It was sort of main talks, and then they had these kind of lightning talks.
And then posters, And
then posters in the session. So it was actually quite a range of talks for just a half-day meeting. So it was interesting, and it definitely, you know, the idea would be that if you could actually have it as an independent notion, then you could effectively document the ontologies as having, you know, as being a certain, I think I lost it.
Michael.
Yes.
You referenced Eldo and Jamie for ontology design patterns. Who would be like point people or groups that we could that you think you would or we should engage in the ontology matching area?
Well, Jerome Usenet is the lead figure in the ontology matching, and you know we've had Jerome present, I think, at last April in one of our sessions,
right.
I think on the metadata session, in fact. So, I mean, on the one hand, we'd want to kind of talk with him some more, but on the other hand, we might also want to get somebody who works with Jerome who has more time to actually, you know, kind of get the work going. So I might contact Jerome and ask him who is the person who is leading. So they have this little bit of infrastructure they call, there's a project called SEALS. What does it stand for?
Sorry, I dropped out again. Hope this doesn't keep happening.
So they have, there's a project called SEALS, which stands for Semantic Evaluation at Large Scale. It seems to be an EU project. And so they're putting, that's kind of where they're putting together the workflow that they call it, you know, for doing ontology matching evaluation. So I might ask, you know, Jerome, who is the person who's kind of leading that effort, and then that might be where that might be the best place for us to insert ourselves, right? So if part of the workflow is where do you get the ontologies for doing the matchings, you know, we can say, oh, we'll get it from one of the OOR instances.
So is SEAL?
Yeah, I'll put it in here.
Oh.
So they've actually been running kind of a matching competition for a number of years. As well, it sounds like the SEALS is kind of expanding that out somewhat.
Exactly, doing more automation of the competition. But I'm thinking like that's kind of where if we can say, oh well, you know, an OOR instance will supply, or several OOR instances will supply, you know, the test cases for the competition and integrate with the SEALS environment. Mm-hmm. That might be, you know, kind of a very, very practical way of generating interest.
Right. That sounds good.
Yeah, great. Lots of opportunity and falls right into what we're trying to discuss. I mean, tactical things that we could do. So, who's next? Mike Dean. Are you done, Michael?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay, Mike Dean?
Yeah, let's see. So, in terms of trends, yeah, there was definitely a lot of papers there on linked data. I'd hazard to guess it was probably close to half, which, you know, I think it's kind of been steadily increasing the last couple of years. There was a panel on big data, which I didn't get an awful lot out of, unfortunately, other than some nice quips from Mike Stonebreaker, kind of, you know, taunting the major commercial database vendors. That he described as having technology that was, you know, largely about 30 years out of date. So that aspect was certainly interesting of it. Other folks may have gotten some nuggets out of that. Mark Musin also gave a really nice keynote at the end of the conference, the last day, more or less kind of talking about, you know, avoiding the AI winter and so forth. So there wasn't really a discussion about BioPortal in that context, other than his, you know, kind of background and lead-in for him. But yeah, if you get a chance to go watch the video, that was I thought was very well done.
I agree. Yeah, that was a great. Mark gave a fantastic talk.
Oh, Gene Holm gave one on the data.gov as well, which was largely kind of a tour of the website and communities. So that was interesting. Again, not necessarily a whole lot of takeaway from that, but you know, some nice references to the work that RPI and other folks are doing.
A question to all the attendees. Was there much discussion on reasoning other than this one paper by Marcus?
Well, there were two sessions that were focused on DL. I didn't get to attend the first one. I think those were probably the major sessions, although I was actually fairly impressed by the poster and demo sessions that they had. So I think there were definitely some posters that were covering that as well. Surprisingly, they only, I think partly due to space, they only accepted about half of the posters and demos, which were normally they, you know, would accept most of them.
Space? What, they had a small venue?
It was somewhat, the space for the poster and demos was a little tight, yeah. And I think they also were getting charged outrageous amounts for the easels and things like that.
Oh, okay.
Michael, is there a website for the Toffee for the Toronto Ontology Festival?
We'll be putting it up as we go along. Yeah, we'll be putting all the talks up there.
Okay, because I couldn't find anything when I did a quick search on the web.
Yeah, no, it's kind of relatively informal, and it's just sort of, it kind of snowballed.
Okay.
Unless you have an acronym, things just go crazy.
It's a good acronym.
So that was all I had for SWC.
Okay, if everyone is reporting contacts and opportunities, maybe I'll take the chance to tell everyone some of the contacts I have made that is sort of similarly relevant. I believe I told Mike already, and I probably will be telling Michael Gruninger soon enough. There was this effort called the Data Web Forum. I don't know how many of you had heard about it. It's sort of one of the U.S. is sort of, at least federal government, is in a big way refocusing around data. And so a lot of funding on big data, challenges that they have put out, and so on. And they have also put together a program that started out with a concept paper by Chris Greer and David Plekacki, called Data Web Forum. And since then, this has evolved into something fairly concrete now, an award I learned, I mean, just like about a week or two ago, was made to Fran Berman. And the whole initiative, of course, this has been going on for, I think, a little over a year already, but it's finally instantiating in a thing called the Research Data Alliance. Which will be a global effort to engage people, engage researchers to share their data so that they will be accessible on and accessible without barrier. And the real launch for Research Data Alliance will be next March, I believe, somewhere in Europe. It's not even in the U.S. The U.S. is only one member of the overall picture, but I mean there's a huge effort in the U.S. going on, and NSF has just funded that. I believe I did mention at an earlier meeting that there's a merger. I mean, OCI, the Office of Cyber Infrastructure, is being merged back into SICE, the Computer and Information Science and Engineering Directorate, and that will be one major focus. So, and the OCI program director is Bob Chadwick, who I happened to work with before when he was at NARA, at the National Archives. So I had spoken to Bob recently. I had spoken to Fran Berman specifically in regard to how we could engage from this sort of broader ontological perspective and the narrower opportunities, both in terms of ontology summit, engaging them in the ontology summit, the Research Data Alliance, as well as in terms of OOR opportunities, and she seems to be very receptive. So I think that's good news, and it's worth pursuing. So that's what I have to report. And I guess Mike knows about Brent Furman, Fran Berman. Fran used to be director of the San Diego Supercomputing Center before she became faculty at RPI, and then provost, and then vice president. So I believe her current role, at least her academic role, is vice president at RPI.
Yeah, although I think she was shedding some of her RPI responsibilities to focus on the Research Data Alliance.
Absolutely, yeah. This is her new thing. Mm-hmm. And she's seemingly putting a lot of effort into it.
Right. So we had some contact earlier on with some of this through the we had the joint interop and DataNet workshop about, I guess it was January or so in Indianapolis. And you know, this was where some of these things were forming up. I think it was really probably more the DataNet folks that were involved and with folks like Beth Pauley, who hosted the meeting and was kind of driving it forward. But I think Fran is great to have doing this. So
with the support of the group here, and hopefully the support of the Ontology Summit co-organizers, organizing committee, I hope to engage these people. And of course, for those who aren't yet aware, Michael Gruninger is the next president for IAOA, and by default will be one of the co-chairs for the next Ontology Summit. General co-chairs.
Congratulations, Michael.
Thank you. My platform, though, didn't succeed. My platform was vote for John Bateman. it fell on deaf ears.
Not entirely. So, Ken, did I miss this additional discussion of how SAP might want to support OOR? Or is there more to tell?
Nothing yet, because I just discussed it as a possibility and have to have to determine whether, you know, they're actually going to go ahead with this or not. So right now, it's just at the very early stages.
Oh, okay. And again,
maybe some weeks.
Okay, we haven't heard anything back from the person who was going to contact Red Hat?
I haven't. Has anybody else?
No, I haven't either. And Mike Dean was also looking towards how we could maybe, or the opportunities, or whether it makes sense to become an Apache Foundation project, right?
Yeah, I think I need to kind of refresh my thoughts on that.
Yeah, that was one suggestion.
Yeah.
Although personally, I look at those two opportunities as sort of for evaluation. And I mean that's myself, not the group here.
Well, Peter, if we go down either the Apache or Oasis routes, does that preclude working with SAP, Red Hat, or whomever?
No. I don't think so.
Well, But I guess an issue that Ken has to think about is if we're thinking about going down this route, which I think is a good one, to get better acceptance and more help, infringe or diminish the value SAP may think they can get by doing this?
I think so. I think we have a very clean and very encouraging IPR policy to really say, oh yes, I mean we could put some effort in here and leverage a lot more people working on it.
I'm thinking from the business perspective, from SAP. They come in and say, should I invest some time and money in this? And, you know, what do I get out of doing that? But if, you know, I'm SAP and I say, oh, well, they're going to make this Apache open source. Do I really want to contribute or not? I don't know how that would impact their decision, which is effectively just a business decision.
For those who really understand the power of the Apache license, I think they would definitely welcome that. Had we used, let's say, Richard Stallman's licenses, I mean, they would pause. But using Apache license, I think it should be a very welcoming feature to them.
Well, in the OData PC, the emphasis is definitely on open source. So I don't think that would ever be an issue for them. But that said, it would still be up to them to decide precisely what license they would be using.
Does SAP do anything in the open source world at this point? Anyone aware of it?
Well, what they're doing in OData is open source, so.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that.
But it will, if they contribute to OR code, they will have to go by the OR IPR policy. You might want to mention or point them to that first, to at least we say it up front.
I think our main role in this, in any interaction with them, would be to provide them with requirements, you know, use cases.
Guidance,
right. And anything that we do in that regard is completely open and free. And if they wanted to take that and then proceed to make a commercial product, of course, that would be fine. It wouldn't be part of the OR initiative, of course.
Right. Yeah, that would be their own initiative. But if they contribute code into OOR, then their code will need to be like Apache license or whatever license we had agreed on.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be the case. So I think I'll definitely be clear on them of exactly what this is. I don't think they have any. They certainly know, you know, what is expected.
although, I mean, my past experience with major corporations playing in standards, the people who are sent to standards SDO working groups and committees are sort of somewhat independent of, let's say, the product development or even the R&D gang. And sometimes companies are big enough that there's a disconnect between those two. And of course, Todd and now Mike, I mean, work in this kind of settings, and you might know better.
Disconnect in a large organization? Yeah. IBM is a better example, but...
I wouldn't doubt that they see that they're going to make money on this in some way.
Right.
But
it's not that, but I mean, it's that the people who are sent to the standards working groups don't have a lot of say on the research agenda or research or development agenda. That's what I mean. They, a lot of times, I mean, they have a mandate. I mean, they've already developed something in-house, and their mandate is to make sure the world calls that an international standard so that they have an edge over everybody else on that matter. I mean, in that case, I mean, Microsoft would be a great example. I mean,
yeah,
a lot of their engagement in SDOs are specifically trying to sort of make the internal work standards an international standard.
I know that at least one of the people on the TC from SAP is connected with the HANA project.
The what project?
And this main memory database project. Hmm. I think Frank has put some. Did you put something about it in the chat?
Not about HANA. HANA is the... SAP, about maybe 3-4 years ago, developed a main memory database originally to support analytics, but I think it does both OLTP and analytics now. And they've been running around talking about it at BLDB and various other places, and it's their main product, I think, now. Very high performance, but you need lots of main memory to feed it. And IBM's developed a somewhat similar product, I think is called Link, or at least that's the term I've heard it used as, and that was developed by HANA was a multi-country effort by SAP. It was developed in Germany, the U.S., and in Korea, although I think Germany and Korea were the main lead elements in it. And Blink from IBM was developed here at Almaden, I believe. And I'm drawing a blank on the name of the PI, but I'll think of it eventually.
Right. IBM is also involved in the OData TC, but they haven't suggested that they would do any development for either OData or OR.
Okay, since we only have a little more than 15 minutes, maybe I can bring everyone back to the focused discussion on tactics and action plans that we can have. And specifically, I would like to see how we could leverage three things. One is the upcoming Ontology Summit. OR as a whole didn't take a lot of advantage of Ontology Summit 2012. So since it's just emerging now, so if we plan it well, maybe we could take advantage of it a little more. Secondly is the new ontology-based standards initiative, since we agree that we will focus on big data, big systems, and then ontology-based standards. So that's definitely some initiative that we could leverage. And then IAOA, since Michael is now at, is going to be in a month or two at the helm. So maybe we could provide synergy, get synergy between OOR and all these three institutions and programs. So thoughts? Maybe 5 minutes each on each of the each area.
What is the topic of the summit this next year?
We don't know yet.
Yeah, the planning meetings will. I think there's a pre-planning meeting in a week, and then that will set the time for the first brainstorming meeting for topics.
Yeah, the brainstorming meeting would quite likely be December 6th or 13th. Because 20 is already too late, too close to Christmas. Of course, 27, nobody wants to work. So the likely dates would be the 6th or the 13th. So we can use that. We can definitely Michael there. So thoughts? Tolling Summit 2013.
Well, for the 2013 Summit, there haven't been any. We haven't narrowed the field yet, have we?
No. So I think what Peter's suggesting is if we started brainstorming here within the context of OOR, then these can then kind of be taken to the actual brainstorming meeting, as possible topics.
Absolutely. I can also point you to a page where a lot of things are already being populated.
In terms of ideas?
In terms of ideas. So I just posted a link.
Ah, okay.
We collected ideas at the Ontology Summit 2012 post-mortem meeting. Those are synthesized and posted on that page now. And then there are a few new ideas that has emerged, including one that I propose we engage the Research Data Alliance. So how could we fit OOR in? And I think things are falling together fairly well in our recent sort of strategy tweak to keep focus on those two areas, I think is right on the money. So it's how that would be of big interest.
Well, breezing through some of these suggestions, several of them have a natural fit where OOR comes in.
Which ones?
Well, I'm looking at the top of the list here. We talk about ontology evaluation. Well, you know, one of the premises of OOR is to promote the development of good ontologies, and maybe we could discuss or have a track that talks about the mechanized evaluation of ontologies and how that could then be realized in OOR.
And then, like I was thinking too, that within the big data community, I mean, the word of data curation is something that people pay a lot of attention to, and that data curation has a lot of overlap with evaluation and quality.
Yeah.
You got, guys, please document everything you're saying that is worth capturing and bringing forward. Otherwise, I mean, they will be lost to...
Peter, I think we're going to have to wait and hear what comes out during the brainstorming sessions and just do, you know, real time, be very creative in how we wiggle it in there.
Okay, that's fine, too.
Without having...
We're going to have a community brainstorm. Although by the time of the community brainstorm, we'll probably have narrowed things down a little bit. But I definitely would see data and something to do with data, maybe a further refinement on what ontology could do on data would be around those themes.
Well, having a reasonably coherent suggestion for the brainstorming session would actually be an advantage.
Yeah.
And I think something around ontology evaluation, curation fits well with big data. Frank, would that fit well with databases as well? That was your suggestion.
Or maybe something about deriving
the thread of this of what you were saying there. Do I think ontologies are useful for large databases as part of big data stuff? Yes. Because one of the problems in these big data sets is that they're being used by people who are remote in time and space from the people who created them. And often it's hard to discern what it is that's actually in this data. Measurement units are a particularly, how shall I say, problematic issue in many of these data sets, especially if they come from the United States, which uses especially screwy data units.
Right, but we've already done one on it, on that kind of thing, right, units of measurement.
Right.
Well, what about if the trend goes towards extracting executable ontologies from big data?
Keep typing. I mean, I don't think we should discuss any of these. Just send ideas onto the chat. We need to move on to the next topic if we want to finish.
Okay, I was suggesting a possibility for a topic that would kind of capture a number of these things.
Yes, I agree. That's exactly why I hope that you type that out on the chat.
Yeah,
please.
So why don't you move on to the next topic?
Yes. The next topic would be ontology-based standards initiative. How could we sort of synergize with that initiative? So this mainly, Michael, you have already been doing a few things on ontology and standards, and of course Ontology Summit has been doing something on ontology-based standards. I think it's about time we merge, and of course IAOA has been doing some of that too. It's about time we merge all these efforts into one coherent initiative.
Yeah, I mean, I think that from the, our content, we used to have a content focus in OR. There was a couple of sessions. I think maybe using the ontology-based standards forum as the source of new content would be very good. I mean, there already is, like say, we have the date-time vocabulary that was presented the last ontolog session. We already have that within Colore. Mike Bennett has, said at a certain point, FIBO would be put into one of the OOR instances. So I think if we kind of make that a bit of a focus to try to get the actual content from that work, the standards work, into an instance, that will help us on the content side.
Right.
And
Ken has already done work converting at least metadata on, 1,400 standards at OASIS, or 1,400 documents at OASIS into some sort of ontology-driven knowledge base, right? Ken? We lost him again. But yes, we definitely should encourage or maybe do some work sessions, real work sessions like hackathon.
Yeah, something like that.
Type sessions to get people to populate their content over, walk them through, and so on.
Yeah, I think a more ambitious but also less chance of complete success would be to have more work in progress being done with OR. So there are there's a lot of work in trying to the phrase ontologize a standard, and maybe not necessarily within the standards group, but somebody else kind of doing it. To have that kind of work in progress being captured within an OR instance. But I'm not sure how well that would work, but I mean, that seems to be another bottleneck is people talk about ontology-based standards, but to actually do that work of either creating an ontology for a standard or extracting it or, developing it, that's often much more difficult. But it would be nice if OR could support that effort in some way. Because that might be the source of the bottleneck, right, is that there's no real kind of support for reusing others' ontologies from other standards and doing that combination, and maybe OR can provide that platform in a way. I'd say that's more ambitious, but hence less chance of actually pulling it off.
Yes. So Michael, maybe you can type out that statement about using that as sort of a drive to drive content for any further discussion on this one? Yeah, I think the potential is huge. Whether or not this may fit into Ontology Summit is unclear. But either way, standing on its own is already there are already huge amount of work and momentum that we could gather. So maybe after Michael types, then we might talk a little bit about what IAOA what OR can do with or for IAOA?
Because there is an actual IAOA technical committee on ontology repositories, and kind of using the workshop in modular ontologies as a potential kind of focus event. And maybe in some ways, like OOR could, because I mean that technical committee doesn't really have a lot of energy right now. And maybe if OOR kind of provides both the people and the resources, the association can promote it within the association a little bit more than it is, so people become more aware of what's going on in OOR. But at the same time, OOR can, I say, just provide a little bit of a kickstart to get that technical committee really out there and doing things.
Yes, sounds good.
What exactly is the mandate of that group? I mean, what is that group other than a title at this point?
Well, that's kind of the, I guess, was my point. I didn't want to be so blatant, but right now it is like a little more than there's a title, there's a few people involved. There's the idea of using the workshop in modular ontologies as kind of the main event of that technical committee, but there's not a lot of activity. And I think maybe if OR kind of gets this, if OR treats that technical committee as a way, as a platform for kind of engaging the rest of the ontology community, that might be the best kind of outcome here.
Yeah, at one point, I believe it was also discussed, of course, it's not quite yet a mandate, but discussed that that committee would also drive some content in terms of, let's say, collecting content of referenceable ontologies or educational material in ontologies and so on.
There was kind of a two-part idea. One was to use hordes of graduate students to go back through old ontology conferences and journal papers and extract, contact the authors and obtain the ontologies that were used within those papers, put them into an OR instance. And another angle of attack was to use to encourage new submissions to ontology conferences and journals. That when you submit your paper, you also submit the ontology.
And the ontology goes into an OOR instance.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the accession numbers that are used in biology.
Right.
Are there mandates, on paper submissions that a standard metadata on the paper is being submitted along with it? Various paper submission sites have fields that they want you to fill in. But are those fairly standard? I mean, are they all sort of Dublin Core compliant and things like that? Does anyone know?
No, I have no idea.
People who are running conferences, who have run conferences.
FOICE was not using that, any standard metadata.
So maybe there's still opportunity to create an ontology of course, mostly based on Dublin Core in this case, and as a requirement. I believe people have spoken about sort of ontology on research papers. Alexander Garcia at one point was talking about that and even had a whole workshop on it. Were some of you guys in it, like Ken, Mike Dean, maybe, possibly?
No, but isn't Vivo doing something like that?
Lots of people must be doing something similar to that, but it's not standardized, for one thing, if I was just asking.
Yeah, ISWC has their own one that they've been using for the collection of Semantic Web Conferences. So ESWC and probably ASWC have been using that as well. So that's the one that's on semanticweb.org with referred to as the dog fooding ontology.
So that's an opportunity, and it's probably not going to be a very difficult ontology, given all the work that's done previously. It's more like a scan of the landscape and merge and synthesize.
Michael, is there a chance that the IAOA?
Yeah, I think this is the type of work that IAOA can take leadership in.
But not just that, but also this idea of ontology of session numbers. I mean, require that any ontology referenced in a paper must be available in the OOR.
I think that would be a good idea to make that kind of proposal.
So,
I think that was one kind of specific proposal that some people were thinking of. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you want me to write that in the chat?
Sure.
I just wrote something. Look at what I wrote and extend from there.
Right. Okay. Yeah, you did catch it.
Okay. So.
Right.
So I guess some of us have to run already. I think it's a great meeting. And quick discussion is, do we meet next week?
Fine with me.
Can't be there next week. Michael, Mike, are you coming down to Dulles next week?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Okay, so I guess Mike can't be there either.
Oh, actually, I cannot meet next week because, Michael, you have at 7 a.m., 10 a.m. your time, you have your Common Logic meeting.
That's right.
And then at 9 a.m. we have the Ontology Summit organizer meeting. So we will have to skip next week. So the next meeting would be December 4th, which would be a regular team meeting, and besides the standard stuff, we continue to discuss these things. By then we'll have more information on the Ontology Summit as well.
Okay.
Michael, you
yes.
owe me a response on the workspace for Common Logic.
Yeah, sorry. No, yeah, you hit me when I was at ISWIC, so I
yes.
My mail was bad. Okay, so
right. Just go through that mail. It most of the suggestions are good. I mean, it's just a call.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No problem. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Talk to you all December 4th.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Peter.
Bye.